This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and this week on New Beginnings, we talk about heart disease, the 10 signs that you might be going through a heart situation. We talk with AARP about the value of frontline workers. Libel Sternbach stops by to talk about your finance. Joe McKenzie is with us, too, and this is New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Joining us right now is the State Director for AARP Minnesota, Kathy McClear. When we were together last week, Kathy, we got into a robust conversation about what needs to be done to take care of those most vulnerable in our state. And you mentioned to us that there are some key factors in providing safe environments for our folks, especially long-term care workers, or long-term care workers and their families. What would those be?
Yeah, thank you, Freddie. It is such an important issue. And, you know, we really know that adequate staffing levels at nursing homes and assisted living facilities are really such a key factor in providing high quality care and safe environments for our loved ones. And, you know, we know that in January, 71% of nursing home facilities were reporting shortages in their skilled care staffing. And we really need to take care of those workers. And there's a couple of ways that we can do that because they are so important to our long-term care delivery system. So we really need to make sure that those folks, those staff have access to sick leave, paid sick leave. It's really just unacceptable that workers who are caring for our vulnerable loved ones might have to choose between going to work sick or losing a paycheck. And so that's one critical piece of it. The other piece of it is making sure that we have adequate pay and benefits, and that might even include some retirement savings opportunities for folks. You know, and with the legislature in full swing now, lawmakers really have that opportunity to make those critical investments in our long-term care system, and AARP is certainly urging them to do so.
So am I to understand that AARP is supporting the bill that is going through, has gone through the House with Representative Frazier, Cedric Frazier, that is providing support for frontline workers?
Yes, yeah, so AARP does support the hero pay measure and to support those folks by giving them a little bit of boost for taking care of folks in this really critical time.
Talk about the importance, Kathy, if you don't mind. We're talking with Kathy McClear, by the way. She is the state director for AARP Minnesota. Can you talk about paid and medical family leave? I know that is really important to a lot of people.
Right. So paid family medical leave, we have in Minnesota about 640,000 family caregivers. So these are folks who are providing care to loved ones without receiving any sort of compensation. And we also know that only about 13% of workers in Minnesota have paid family leave through their employer. And so providing a paid family leave program would allow those individuals to, you know, not have to sacrifice their paycheck, not have to sacrifice their jobs in order to stay home and take care of their loved ones. And this is just really, you know, many times those family caregivers, they risk their own financial security to provide that care. And being able to provide paid time off from work is just so critical to support those family caregivers.
So if this bill passes the way that you would expect it to, what will it provide for the people who are the recipients?
Right. So as it's currently proposed, it would provide up to 12 weeks of partial wage replacement, up to a maximum of $1,000 per week. And that would be during leave for pregnancy or medical leave, as well as 12 weeks for a family member who's bonding with a new child or caring for a very seriously ill family member. And again, we have 640,000 individuals in Minnesota who are caring for their loved ones who may otherwise need to be in a nursing home or an assisted living facility. We know that that economic contribution of those unpaid family caregivers, it exceeds $760 billion. And
wow.
So you can see why this is so critical to keep people in the workforce. It reduces turnover, it boosts productivity, and it enhances morale of those workers. And so this is, you know, it's not just a caregiving issue. It's really a measure of economic security for folks as well.
So Kathy, as a final thought, what is your message to lawmakers?
Well, you know, we just heard recently about the increase in the budget surplus, and
yes,
you know, we are urging lawmakers to invest in our long-term care delivery system. Our seniors deserve high-quality, affordable long-term care that they can count on, and these are just a few of the ways that we can do that.
How can our listeners get more information about the fine work of AARP?
Well, we encourage anybody who wants to learn more about our issues or get involved or volunteer, you can visit aarp.org/MN.
That's Kathy McClear, and this is New Beginnings. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
The question before the House is, where did Grandma hide the cash? You can check these spots when cleaning out a house. According to a new AARP book, they say check the toilet tanks. There's room in there for a jar stuffed with jewelry or cash. Also make sure nothing is taped inside the toilet lid. We're trying to help you to find the hidden cash in your home. Look at the freezer, too. Credit cards and gold coins frozen in blocks of ice and plastic zipper bags filled with cash have also been noted to have been found. Look in the pantry. Look inside cereal boxes, flour bags, and coffee cans. We're trying to help you to find the money that Grandma may have stashed. Bookshelves. Check for those hollowed-out Bibles and dictionaries that you can buy online. But you also have to shake out every book on the shelf where everything from $100 bills to dividend checks from Fortune 500 companies have been found stashed between the pages. Look under the floorboards, too. Check for loose boards under throw rugs, new nails that look out of place, and loose edges around wall-to-wall carpets. Old trunks. Steamer trunks from World War II have special compartments built into them for wives to pack mementos for their husbands. Check under the lining and look for a false bottom. The secret compartment is usually on the right-hand side of the back of the trunk near the bottom. And closets. Go through every piece of clothing and every box. Money has been found in shoe boxes and cigar boxes and inside the pockets and linings of old jackets. And finally, check the drawers. Chest of drawers offer unique hiding places. Women's vanities usually have at least one drawer with a false bottom to hide the good jewelry. You can find more information from the book entitled Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff by Matt Paxton with Jordan Michael Smith, published by Portfolio Penguin and AARP. I'm Freddie Bell, and we've got more coming up. It's time now to talk about your health on New Beginnings. Chances are you are aware of the classic signs of a heart attack, the crushing chest pain, the shortness of breath. But what about heart disease? This killer doesn't always strike with a big bang. Some indicators of ticker trouble are far less obvious than others. Here are 10 little-known signs that you may have heart problems, and if we don't get through all 10 today, we'll certainly come back next week. Number one, you struggle to breathe when lying flat. If breathing is hard when you sleep on your back but often improves when you sit upright, you may have fluid buildup in the lungs, which can indicate heart failure. When you lie flat, your blood volume gets redistributed. That according to a cardiologist at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. The heart can have problems pumping this extra blood volume, and this can lead to increased shortness of breath due to increased fluid in the lungs. The condition is known as orthopnea and is serious and demands immediate attention from your doctor. Snoring can also be a red flag. Sleep disordered breathing, such as sleep apnea, is associated with metabolic syndrome, which is associated with heart disease. That according to Eleanor Levine, a clinical professor of cardiovascular medicine at the Stanford University School of Medicine. Number two, we're giving you the 10 sneaky signs that you may have heart disease. You have leg pain or hip pain or both while walking. Lower body pain can result from injuries, arthritis, or being out of shape, but it also may signal circulation problems in the legs from peripheral artery disease. Much like blockages in the heart arteries can cause heart attacks, blockages in the leg arteries can cause pain when walking. That according to Deepak Bhatt, who is an executive director of interventional cardiovascular programs at Brigham Young University and Women's Hospital in Boston. If large leg arteries are clogged, smaller arteries in the heart are probably clogged too, he says. Circulation-related pain often occurs when you exercise and ends when you stop because the obstruction limits the amount of oxygen reaching the muscles. And when you stop walking, you don't need that much oxygen and the pain goes away, he says. And number three, you can't rise to the occasion. Diabetes or chronic stress can cause erectile dysfunction, ED, but it may be a sign of budding heart disease. That according to Michael Blaha, who is the director of clinical research at the Cicerone Center for the Prevention of Cardiovascular Disease at Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore. ED is often a blood flow problem, and risk factors from smoking to hypertension are similar for vascular ED and atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, which is a hardening of the arteries. The root cause of both issues is a dysfunction in which blood vessels have difficulty expanding and contracting properly, which reduces blood flow to the heart and to the penis. And number four, or get your juices flowing. Blood flow issues aren't limited to men. In one study, 84% of men and 87% of women with heart failure reported some degree of sexual dysfunction. For women, the signs can include vaginal dryness or a lack of libido and clitoral sensation. This type of dysfunction leads to less elastic blood vessels, which impair blood flow to the sexual organs. The first step of developing cardiovascular disease or coronary artery disease is endothelial dysfunction, that according to Ernst von Schwartz, who is a cardiologist, researcher, and clinical professor at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center and the University of California, Los Angeles. This leads to blood vessel issues as well as blood flow abnormalities, plaque formation, artery calcification and blockage, and eventually a heart attack. And number five, and we'll leave it here for this week, you're fatigued for no reason at all. If everyday activities make you tired, like needing to rest while making the bed, you may have an obstructed coronary artery. Most women cite fatigue as their first symptom before having a cardiac event. That's according to John McSweeney, Professor Emerita at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences College of Nursing. Fatigue can occur months before a heart attack and may result from lower blood flow to the heart. If you feel unusually tired, even from simple, mundane activities, call your doctor. We are giving you the 10 sneaky signs that you may have heart disease. We've given you the top five, and next week we'll complete this list with the remaining five of our top 10. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. I'm glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And right now, let's talk about your driver's licenses. You know they're going digital. You can already store credit and debit cards on your smartphone. Next comes your driver's license. Yes, Apple is rolling out ID verification capability for iPhones, and Google is working on a system for Android users. Here's how it works. Who can get a virtual driver's license? Well, first, Georgia and Arizona residents can opt in first for the new Apple feature, which stores the license in your iPhone's wallet app, followed by Connecticut, Iowa, Kentucky, Maryland, Oklahoma, and Utah. But a handful of states already have their own digital ID apps independent of Apple's launch. They include Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Delaware, Louisiana, and Oklahoma. Florida is testing a pilot program, and California may soon kick off its own trials, too. The question becomes, how can I get a digital ID? In some states, the Department of Motor Vehicles will send a license to your device. In other states, scan your ID card with your phone, then conduct a facial scan to verify your identity. And once you get the digital ID, where can you use it? TSA security checkpoints will be the first place Apple Wallet users can present digital IDs. Businesses may take digital IDs as verification for identity and age, but some police departments are not yet considering them the same as cards. So, Freddie Bell, can I leave my license at home? Not yet. Have your card as a backup until they are widespread, that according to the people we've talked with. I'm Freddie Bell, going digital this weekend on New Beginnings. Please welcome to our show this morning Angela Jones and Valencia Watkins. They are, I met you when you were singers, but things have really changed. Good morning.
Good morning, Freddie.
How are you?
Hey. Oh, my gosh. We are so excited to be a part of this. And you are so right. Things have definitely changed.
Yes,
it has. We're moving and we're shaking and we're loving it.
So let me get this right. I assumed, and as a journalist, I don't want to assume anything. I believe that both that you're, I know you're sisters, but are you also twins?
We are Irish twins.
We are less than a year apart, and we're less than a year.
Same parents, and less than a year apart, and we're considered an Irish twin.
Yeah,
we just so happen to look alike. That's so funny. Yes, we just so happen to look alike, but yes.
It's amazing, and I cannot tell you guys apart. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So you started...
There are similarities and differences, but we are so one and the same. Yes, definitely.
Angela Jones of Valencia Williams with us this morning. And you started out as singers, but you're now the big boss, the writer, executive producers, actors, and a brand new television show called Daddy, We're Back. Where did the concept come from?
Oh, my gosh. We, we've sang for so long. You know, we've been at this for quite some time, and we sang for a while. And then we just decided, you know what, we're going to use the talents of us writing songs into writing scripts. And so we just literally sat down and came up with this idea.
That was going to be really funny, family-friendly, oriented, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with,
we actually wrote
one scene first. It was the scene about the one of the scenes where we trick our dad into, our dad, TV dad, into coming off of a trip with his girlfriend that we do not like, trick them into messing up one of their events or something, and that type of deal. So we started with that. You know, we went that concept, and then we just started writing all around it.
Yes, and our mom as well. Our mom wrote with us as well, and kind of edited something. So it was really cool.
Backup person, we'd love it.
And small team, but real powerful.
Yep, small and mighty. Mm-hmm. And we with that. So since we've written 8 episodes, a full season, and that season is being played. You can downstream it on Blue TV, ETV, and also on YouTube.
Yep.
And then ETV, which is Encourage TV.
And just YouTube.
It's on their YouTube channel.
Type on the YouTube, and they're all 8 episodes are right there, ready to go.
And it's funny. It's friendly.
Yeah.
It deals with real-life concepts, but in a comical way. And we enjoyed writing it, directing it. And, yes, we wore different hats. You know, we were the producers. Mm-hmm. And then we also act in it as well. So for us, you know, as Vision of Harmony singers, we were able to convert those talents from coming off of stage into acting and surprise ourselves. You know, we're like, actually, we're really good at this,
That's really cool.
And to find people laughing and asking us when are we going to do season 2? Mm-hmm. And,
at the end of episode 8, there's a cliffhanger. So people are definitely wanting to see season 2. So one of the things that we're wanting to, Freddie, is to be picked up nationwide and to just push this on further and to let these dreams come to reality. We have such big dreams, and we're just going for it.
Yes.
And super excited about
God's opening doors.
Definitely.
We know we're going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
Well, your base has always been spiritually based. And so how does that show up in your television program, Daddy, We're Back?
We have an uncle that's in the show as well that kind of pulls it all together because, like Angela's saying, it is very it's very family friendly. But you know, there's drama in the family and things, and so our uncle's kind of like he's that one that'll throw a scripture out there or hold that hand and kind of pull it all back together. But there's no profanity. There's nothing in there that's going to make people say, "Whoa," you know.
Yeah.
It's just real life things that are going on. But I think people, when they hear us talk, they know that God is the base and the start of everything we do, and the reason for us doing this.
Yeah.
And so we just make sure we encourage people as well to keep God first in everything that you do.
Everything you do. And we have different themes, even with the show. There's like different aspects of it where, you know, we are singing. We have one where we're singing, you know, it's Vision of Harmony. We sing our songs. We do a country song. We do back, you know, patronage to when we were younger as Bubblegum and Candy, you know, and stuff. So we bring, we have the singing incorporated, but the majority of it is the acting.
Yeah.
You know, we have a fantastic cast around us. Dennis Mallon, Robin Fletcher, John Nicholas, you know, the uncle. So we do, we have a wonderful cast that's all around us, along with some other talented actors that we just all bring it together. We pray.
And we became a family.
And we did pray before every episode, pray after the episodes. And it's
encourage
just,
them to pray as well.
Yeah.
You know, just through it all so we can all get through this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's really great.
Phenomenal. It's been great.
So what are your viewers telling you? Are you saving souls as a result of the show? What's been the feedback so far?
The feedback is they absolutely love it. You know, it's a spin on two girls, which is Angela and myself, and we are, you know, we're with our family and everything. We decide to leave and start our own anew. You know, we're young adults, and we start our lives out there. We come back because, you know, life is not always pleasant to you as you, as a young adult getting out there. So we move back in with our dad. And as we do, unbeknownst to us, he has a girlfriend and she has her own little agenda. You know, she has her own plans. And so you have the drama going in that. So it's kind of like real life things. Nowadays, a lot of children or young adults will leave. They go out of the nest and they start their lives. You know, in this industry, sometimes you have to come back financially, whatever your reason is, you have to come back and start anew. So that's like real life stuff.
And if you do things, they'll say for us, like, to get that real life experience, a lot of them can relate, just like Valencia is saying, a lot of them can relate to what's going on because we do touch on real life issues.
Right.
And so they can relate on what's happening in their families because it's, and not to give it anything away in regards to the show, but there are, you know, different
dynamics
and dynamics that are going on.
Exactly.
And when you watch it, it's like we're doing it, we're answering those things, but it still has a little bit of a lace around comedy that keeps it just light and fluffy enough, but we're actually resolving conflicts and things
issues
as well.
That are going
so
on.
People tell us that it gives them an opportunity to just escape their day-to-day and then watch what's happening in a comical way, and that they absolutely love it. And, you know, it's getting great feedback,
it
you
really
know,
is.
And it's our baby. So, I mean, we feel really good because this is our first time producing and directing and having a chance to do it and have it to be, you know, successful. We know that God's all over that.
Wow.
Definitely.
So season two, when does season two start?
Season two will start when you guys watch and encourage
season one.
Watch season one so that we get lots and lots of
continued growth.
We want to be picked up so that it can go on to season two. Because season one, we did a lot on our own. We did
a lot of backing.
Everything was myself and Angela. So
with
now it's with our mama. Definitely mommy. And so now we would love to be able to, you know, have that background, have that backup so we can really push it and do some things. Everything was done here in Florida, in Tampa.
Yep.
So it's nice
different
to be able
locations.
To,
it was great. We had deals with different businesses and restaurants.
Yes.
And hospital, doctor, you know, and all of that. And so, you know, we partner with a lot of people. So yes, when season two, as far as season two coming out and then where they can watch it again, it is on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and just go Daddy, We're Back, you can pull it up on YouTube, which is actually through ETV's streaming network. But you can at least access it on YouTube. And then send us a note. And we're also on Facebook. You know, people can reach us directly on our Facebook under Angela and Valencia. So Facebook /AngelaAndValencia.com. You can, you know, kind of catch up with what we're doing, see what's happening to stay in the know. And then also we have our own production company, which is called Irish Twin Productions. Irish Twin Productions. And on there, you can get a clip. You can see the trailer for the show and also catch up with some of the things that we're doing and
And I'm excited about what Angela and Valencia are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we are here to stay. We're super excited about it. You know, and then we just want to tell people to follow your dreams. It's never too late. Continue it. You know, with God behind you and standing behind you, you can do anything.
All things are possible.
All things are possible. Mm-hmm. So we just want to encourage at the same time. So,
well, way to go. I'm so excited for you, everybody. Angela Jones and Valencia Watkins, Irish twins. They are the star, the writers, producers, everything with Daddy, We're Back. I can't thank you enough, ladies, for being with us this morning and showing us that everything is possible if you only what?
Believe.
I'm Freddie Bell, and we've got more coming up.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with your appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
Now is my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Leibel, welcome back to the program. So glad to have you on New Beginnings. How are you this week?
Hey, how are you?
Unbelievable. I'm so glad that we're, you know, each day that we go, Leibel, we're one more day closer to spring. So, Leibel, let's pick up on that discussion where we started last week. We've been talking about budgeting, and you have some very fundamental things to say about budgeting. Let's recap for those who may have missed a portion of our program. You said it's a matter of income and expenses, and the budgeting is for everybody. Help us to understand.
Yep. So when we think about our household, when we think about our life, we need to think about it as a business. And accountants have got this great formula for how they approach everything. Everything to an accountant has to balance out. And their formula is assets plus liabilities equals owner's equity. Or in terms of cash flow, it's income minus expenses equals your cash flow. And we want both of those formulas to be positive, right? We want to know what our assets are. We want to know what our liabilities are. We want to try to keep those down as much as possible. We want to get our income as high as possible, our expenses as low as possible. And we want to try to have as much cash flow and as much equity as possible, because that's how we build true wealth. And so in order to do that, you need to have insight into what money you're making, where is it going, and what is it doing, right? You can't just have your money sitting there, because just sitting there is going to lose value. So you want to constantly be increasing that. And that includes your ability to earn money, right? You want to be able to increase that, especially in your younger years. That's going to compound, and you have a much greater time period for that to compound. As we get older, investing in our career is maybe not the smartest idea, because it's not going to compound as longer, but investing in whether it's real estate or the stock market or something that has compounding returns to it, we then have the rest of our life to benefit from that compounding interest. And so we want to take advantage of that as long as possible. And we want to make sure that we're taking advantage of it as much as possible, as long as we can tolerate it. Right. And so we want to make sure that you're budgeting and you're keeping an eye on that, because that is how you're going to get that insight to be able to do it and to know where can I cut expenses? Where am I spending too much money that I don't need to be spending? Mm-hmm. What are the things that I'm spending that I don't even know I'm spending on?
You also mentioned in terms of budgeting that it is a system that really never stops. It's not just for younger people, but it's especially important in retirement. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct. You need to budget your entire life. And you need to think about budgeting as something that's just, it isn't just money. It's also your time, is your expertise. It's anything that will produce value for you and your lifestyle. So you want to be budgeting, and you want to use those same skills that you learned as a kid when you were saving up your pennies and trying to figure out how you can scrape by to buy that candy, to buy that first bicycle, to buy that first toy, whatever it was that your first goal was, which we all remember what that first thing that we wanted to buy was, and the lengths that we went to save that money and how protective we were of that. We need to do that in retirement. We need to do that throughout our entire life, really. And we need to never give up on that. That is the one of those solid foundational skills that will carry us throughout our entire lifetime. And the more that we keep it alive, the better we'll be.
Leibel Sternbach with us this weekend, and we're just trying to recap. And I was just thinking as you were going through that about reducing expenses. I know that I'm not unlike a lot of folks, Leibel, that I have a couple of credit cards. One in particular has a high interest rate. What do you say about as we're trying to figure out this budget conundrum? How do we take care of those credit cards that we have? And I know people may have more than the two that I have in my pocket right now.
Yeah. So when we look at cutting our expenses, when we look at protecting what I call our downside, mm-hmm. So things that can take away value from us. So we want to look at what are the things that are having the biggest impact and that we can change, we can have the biggest impact on. High interest credit cards are one of those things. The interest that we're paying on credit cards, right, there it's just going to the credit card company. And if we can take some of those high interest credit cards and transfer it to low interest credit cards, we've just saved ourselves 10%, 15%, 20% of that value that was just going to nowhere, right? Now, on the other hand, if it's a low interest credit card, and the money that you put on the credit card, you're using to invest in the stock market, or you're using to get yourself an education. Those are things that are investing in your future. Those are things that you're now getting a return on your investment. You're not just paying for the benefit of having a credit card. So you want to look at your expenses and where your money is going. And you want to say, what are the things that are costing me? And then what are those things that are costing me a lot? And try to work those down. But you need to constantly be looking at the income side of things as well and be asking yourself the question, is the money that I'm saving going to cost me income, right? Is there an opportunity cost to what I'm doing? And it's kind of a little bit of a calculus. One thing that's usually easy to say is pay off high interest credit cards. But again, don't do it at the expense of even greater investment returns, right? That doesn't make sense. So you gotta think strategically about those decisions that you make. And kind of the rules that I use is first ask yourself, you know, does this take away from my bottom line? Does this take away from my essentials? If I pay off this credit card, will it put me at risk of not having a roof over my head, not having food on the table, not being able to enjoy the things that I find essential and necessary for my happiness? If paying off the credit card is going to make me miserable, right, then it doesn't make sense to pay off the credit card. But if it's not going to make me miserable and I've got the money, okay, then let's look at the next question. What's my upside in paying off that high interest credit card? Until I know the answer to that question, it's not necessarily a good decision. If the upside is, okay, well, I get rid of a 15 or 20% interest rate that I'm paying on, let's say $10,000. Well, that's a decent amount of money to save over a year, over 10 years, or however long I carry that interest. If it's not a lot of money that I'm going to be saving, then maybe my money would be better spent somewhere else. And then we got to look at the downside, right? What are the downsides of making that decision? If I take all that money and I paid off my credit card, well, I lose access to that cash. In losing access to that money, will that cost me something? Is there something down the road or in the near future that I will lose the opportunity for that money? Or will it actually, or am I actually making a decision between two things? And one of them is paying off the credit card, and the other one is some other investment or some other opportunity, or maybe just peace of mind, right? And you got to look at what those downsides are and ask yourself, is it the right decision for me now? And you got to look a little bit into your crystal ball for the answer to that.
Very interesting. I'm getting this. Yeah. I'm having a visceral reaction to what you're saying, Leibel. It sounds like a lot of this is emotionally driven as much as anything.
That is my personal philosophy in life, is that in order for us to make sound financial decisions, we need to first make sound emotional decisions. The reasons why finance is so difficult for most people is that it intrinsically requires us to make these cold, logical decisions that go completely against our human nature. All the things that help us survive as human beings, as a species, they, you know, keep us alive in the wild. You know, when everybody is running, you run with them because there's a reason why they're running. Well, in the stock market, if you run with everyone else, you're going to lose out with everyone else. The people who make money are the people who can stand firm and say, well, no, it doesn't make sense to run right now. Right now is actually a really great opportunity to buy. And they act in opposition of everyone else because they're able to think rationally when everyone else is thinking emotionally. So the question becomes, us as human beings who are emotionally and physiologically wired for these survival instincts, how do we allow ourselves, create for ourselves the ability to be rational and fiscally responsible at the same time, knowing that most of the time those things are at odds? And I think the only way that we get there is by making sure that no matter what, we know on an emotional and physiological level that our needs will always be protected. Because when we know that we have a roof over our head, when we know that there's food on the table, when we know that the things that make us feel safe are taken care of and not in any way danger, then we can look at everyone running and say, well, it's okay that everyone's running because I know that no matter what happens, I'm protected. And then I can make the rational decision and I can say, well, does it make sense for me to get out of my investment? Does it make sense? Maybe there's an opportunity here. And it becomes unemotional because your livelihood, your ability to survive isn't tied up in that decision. And I think that that is really, I think that's critically important, that until we address what that is, and I think it's unique and different for every person, what the answer is to that question of what makes me feel safe, right? Until you know the answer to that question and until you protect that, everything else is just it's just theory and it'll never work for you, right?
Interesting. You know, it makes me think about your response to Miranda and her question earlier about how do you curtail unnecessary spending. But it seems as if a lot of people do impulse buying. Does that tie into it too, getting your emotions under control so that the impulse buying comes under your control as well? How does that play into your happiness? I know that's a convoluted question, but I'm just thinking about the emotional aspect. If you're not happy, then you said it doesn't make sense to do it. How do you explain or how do you rein in the impulses when it relates to your finances?
Yep. So there are multiple approaches to this problem. And I'm going to give you a few different answers to this question, but they're fundamentally all the same. Right? Now, I do not want to take away from the fact that there are people who spend a lot more than they should, and that there are possibly there may be reasons to go to therapy, and there may be, you know, the reasons of why you're impulse shopping may not be answered by a podcast. You may need to take a really hard look at why you're impulse shopping. So don't take this as, you know, I'm not Dr. Phil, and this is not psychological advice.
Okay.
What I will say is that look at when you're making those impulse purchases. Number one, be aware that you're making the impulse purchase. Ask yourself why you're doing that. And then ask yourself, right? The question may be, okay, is it impulse buying maybe something that makes you happy, right? I mean, I grew up very poor. Being able to go onto the checkout line and not look at the price of what I'm buying and just be able to pick anything off the rack makes me happy. It's something that I find fulfilling to do, and I don't want to have to consider that. But at the same time, I can't do that with everything because I'll run out of money. So I can put limits on how much I impulse spend, you know, so whether it's setting a budget and saying, well, okay, you know what? I have $1,000 of play money that I can do on impulse purchases, and that works for me. What works for you may be something different in terms of that impulse buying, or you may have to, you know, look at it and say, find a way to be okay with that impulse buying, because as soon as you are okay with it and you find a way to either make more money or make it an okay part of your budget, you will find that the reasons that you're impulse buying will go away.
Bible, we got to leave it right there. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. His website is simply libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Save your time and skip the trip. If you have an unused at-home COVID-19 saliva test kit, use it now if you feel sick. And save a trip to an in-person testing site. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you so much. And right now it's time for our weekend review. President Biden has officially announced the United States will impose a ban on Russian oil imports over the country's invasion of Ukraine. Speaking from the White House this past Tuesday, Biden says the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy by banning imports of Russian oil and gas. He says we'll not be part of subsidizing Putin's war, adding that this is a step that we're taking to inflict further pain on Russian President Vladimir Putin. Biden says the move would not be without cost in the United States, though acknowledging that the war is hurting American families at the gas pump, and he says he would work to minimize what he describes as Putin's price hike. But Biden says defending freedom is going to cost us as well in the United States. Republicans and Democrats alike understand that. The president also announced on Tuesday that he will ask Congress for $2.6 billion for foreign aid programs that promote gender equity worldwide, more than double the size of last year's request. News of the president's aid package arrived on International Women's Day, which is set aside to celebrate social, economic, cultural, and political achievement of women around the world. Last International Women's Day, President Biden created the inaugural White House Gender Policy Council. It helps with gender equity across the administration. Turning to entertainment now, Kanye West is a poet and he didn't even know it. And according to his latest creation, he's also dead. Yes, the rapper shared a strange poem on Instagram titled Dead, which is about how no one wanted to tell me I'm dead. West writes in the poem, "They ran through my account like the sign said free bread, but no one wanted to tell me I was dead. My kids would dance for me in a home I once led, but kids see ghosts and didn't know I was dead." The poem concludes with West suggesting that he was murdered in this scenario. He says, "I found out one day at the newsstand in Purgatory there was a front page article of my murderer's story," he writes. A Georgia man didn't make the very best use of his COVID-19 relief money, that according to prosecutors, and now he's headed to prison. A 31-year-old man is being sentenced to 36 months in prison after admitting he used nearly $60,000 in COVID-19 relief funds to buy a Pokemon card. That according to the U.S. Attorney General's Office for the Southern District of Georgia. He pled guilty to one count of wire fraud. Prosecutors say he applied for a COVID-19 relief loan from the Small Business Administration, supposedly for an entertainment service business, and he received $85,000. But he allegedly lied on the application and spent $57,000 of the relief money he received to buy a Pokemon card. And Mark Meadows, who quit his North Carolina congressional seat to become former President Donald Trump's White House Chief of Staff in March of 2020, registered to vote for the 2020 election using the address of a rural North Carolina mobile home that he never lived in or slept at. Meadows reportedly voted by mail from Alexandria, Virginia in 2020, but he's still registered at the rental home in Scaly Mountain. And finally, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Lapado is saying that his state would be breaking with recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and advising against COVID-19 vaccination for healthy children ages 5 and older. The decision was announced during a roundtable discussion with medical professionals who oppose much of the CDC's recommendations. Lapado did not elaborate on the choice, but he did say his recommendation would be the first of its kind in the country. I'm Freddie Bell, and that's news from this week. This is New Beginnings, and hello, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and it's now time to talk about your career. And to assist in that discussion is our career expert, Mr. Joel McKenzie. He's the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. You can reach him by telephone at 763-438-1621 or online at his website, RippleConnects.com. Joe McKenzie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
I'm well, and I'm ready to talk about creative ways to redesign your next job search. And it's interesting when we're talking about being creative in a job search. Sometimes being creative in a job search, you don't often find that in the same sentence. So when you're talking about being creative, is it the traditional creative way, or what are you suggesting?
I think being creative in any aspect of your job search allow you to stand out and see those opportunities. But now more than ever, the pandemic has changed so many aspects of our life. The ability to meet with people, the ability to interview in person, the ability to network informational interviews. I get firsthand knowledge of people saying that I just don't have those same resources I had just 2-3 years ago before the pandemic. And that's why we have to get creative. We have to see the tools that are in front of us. We have to adapt on how we're going to drive our own job search. If we're just going to blame it on the pandemic or traditional ways without making any kind of creative adaptions to it, then it's on us. And there are tools out there. There's workarounds in regards to achieving the same goals of finding that job that you've wanted for a long time that you can really lean into and have that career trajectory that you're happy with. But you can't approach it the same way, Freddie. And that's why I said creative ways. And I see this drawing board and people finding different ways to connect with people, different ways to learn more information about companies, or even just wrangling technology and how do I interview via Zoom or a virtual format. I'm not used to that. What are some of the things I have to be aware of? And that's why I bring this topic up, because things have changed. And I don't think many of the things that have changed will go back to the way they were in 2018-19.
Interesting. We're talking about creative ways to redesign your next job search. I'm curious, can an informational interview be a disguise for an actual job interview?
Oh, that's a great question. Personally, I think if any time you're in front of someone learning more about an organization and what they do and how you potentially could find a home there, I think you're always interviewing. And you have to be ready. You have to be practiced for even informational interviews. You can't just wing it. You have to have good, compelling questions. But yes, I think anytime someone from an organization meets someone else, They're trying to determine who you are and what you bring and your skills and your leadership and soft skills. Yes, absolutely, Freddie.
So we should be on our toes then. If someone says, well, I want to conduct an informational interview with you, should we go, aha, this is the coup de grace. This is what I've been looking for.
I think you take advantage of any opportunity and you take it very seriously in your preparation. And I would treat it as any other interview for a job. That's just the way I approach any kind of contact with an organization. But yes, I don't think you'll fault yourself for not preparing for this.
Very interesting. So what about self-marketing? How does that play into what we're talking about? And I know, as I say the question, there are some individuals who are listening who say that I've been self-marketing for a long time. What are you talking about?
I think self-marketing is the ability to highlight your transferable skills, highlight your leadership, highlight your volunteerism, highlight your passions. Those are all ways to differentiate yourself with other candidates that are out there. And your network should know what, you know, what you're working on, what you bring to the table, you know, through LinkedIn or even just in creating a document or sharing some of your writing or some of your projects that you're working on. That all comes into a self-marketing plan, right? That mm-hmm. that gives your network the ability to say, I didn't know you're working on that. I didn't know that was one of your transferable skills. That's what I mean by self-marketing. So much of us, our interactions with people is somewhat superficial. Here's a chance for us to say, hey, this is what I've been working on for years, and here's where I want to go with it. Here's some of the examples that I've had in the past that I want to share with you, even though you've known me a long time, but you may not have known what I've been working on. That is self-marketing in my view. And it's not self-promotion. It's marketing what you can bring to a company. And I think everybody should be open to that, because if you don't do it, people are going to make some assumptions about you. Maybe they're just going to look at where you were in the past and say, okay, you're meant to be working in office equipment, or you're meant to be working in a credit union. Well, maybe you don't want to go there. And some of those things that you're working on now will allow you to reinvent yourself in the eyes of many people in your network.
Well, time has really gotten away from us, but I'll summarize quickly. Embrace LinkedIn. Know that virtual job interviews are here to stay. And as you just mentioned, self-marketing is a self-marketing strategy. You're not just being braggadocious. You're just trying to go to the next level. Joe, some great stuff that you do at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we turn candidates into contenders.
And now it's time for this week's Words to the Wise. Today's Words to the Wise read, we are one family. Today's wise words, we are one family. You can find this and more at freddiebell.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.